This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cavs back on the floor tonight against the Indiana Pacers, game number two. Let's get some more info on that. And the Browns, too. We turn to Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealers. Jimmy Watkins, also host of the Wine and Gold podcast, and you can always catch that Cleveland.com as well. Right now, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jimmy, I just want you to know Jeff is suffering from a major paper cut right now, and I have a little indigestion, but we are going to weather the storm because this is a playoff day. So we're one of the two people not injured today, and I just want to check in on your health to make sure you're going to be all right to be able to write about the game tonight. You okay?
I was going to say they just keep piling up, right?
I know. But
yeah, I need to watch where I step the rest of the day. I might just go bubble suit.
You don't want to hurt that great toe, Jimmy.
No, it's your writing finger or your typing fingers. That's what we're concerned about.
Jimmy types with his toes.
Oh, he does. That's
yeah.
Only you folks.
Oh, man.
All right. They're a little banged up going into this game. Thoughts on how injured they are and what that might mean for the contest?
You're betting they play?
I'm not sure about Evan Mobley, and that's the one that concerns me the most. I was not at practice, but I'm seeing Chris Fedor, my guy, report that he did not see at shoot around Garland, Hunter, or Mobley. Now, I don't think that's necessarily telling us a ton because on a playoff game day, guys who are questionable, you're probably getting around the clock treatment. That's probably more important than whatever you're doing at shoot around.
Agreed.
But the vibe, like Evan Mobley limped after the game the other day. Didn't love seeing that. The vibe has not been encouraging. We had an ankle, like the ankle injury of the three, like Darius has had more time off. A thumb is kind of, you know, it might limit you, but it's really what you can withstand on that front. The ankle is something that you got to be careful with. So he's the one, just think about what Evan Mobley does 100 times a game. He's jumping for rebounds with a lot of feet under him. You can bet if he does play out there, the Pacers are going to bring him out and test how well he can change directions on that thing. He's the one that concerns me the most. And this is why I don't like the conversations about, well, the Pacers won't shoot as well and the Cavs will eventually start making their shots. It's like, okay, maybe, but this 1-0 deficit, this the defensive intensity that the Cavs didn't bring game one has all these 1-0. Either way, we'd be worried about these injuries, but given the circumstances we're in now, it just feels way more dramatic.
I agree with you on that. They've played well this year, and it's kind of weird, Jimmy. When Donovan has been out, when Darius has been out, I get all that. I don't know if you can pull that off in a playoff series and win the playoff series. So if you're missing Darius tonight, that's a problem. You know, and we all like Ty Jerome, but you want more good guys, and so that's a problem tonight. Why is Mobley a bigger concern for you?
Because the biggest problem in game one was defense, and he's the linchpin to the defense. Jared Allen did not have a good time hanging out on the island guarding Tyrese Halliburton. And, you know, Evan Mobley is not going to be perfect in that regard either, but he's a defensive player of the year, and you just had one of your most, by far your worst defensive performance of the playoffs. He's also in this series, I think, a pretty important offensive piece because you know, even if Darius comes back or whenever he does come back, we're not exactly sure what he's going to look like. And the toe injury's clearly been bothering him enough to miss 3 playoff games. He's going to be out of rhythm. He hasn't played in almost 2 weeks now. And Evan Mobley, frankly, has some of the most favorable matchups on the court. Like when Miles Turner isn't out there, the Pacers' backup centers are wings. It's Pascal Siakam and Obi Toppin. We saw a little bit of Thomas Bryant. To put it kindly, Thomas Bryant isn't known for his defense. So he's going to have, I thought there were a lot more. I mean, he obviously turned his ankle in the fourth quarter, but throughout that game, I thought there were more opportunities. I thought he had it going, but there are more opportunities to get him the ball. We keep saying Evan Mobley is the key to the Cavs championship ceiling. So if you want to see him healthy, and when he's out there, I'd like to see him getting the ball a little bit more.
I was just going to mention that. He doesn't get a whole lot of shots. I believe what I looked up, one time he's had more than 15 shots in a playoff game. And when he did, he had 33 against Boston last year. Is that on Evan? Is it on Kenny Atkinson? Is that on his teammates? Who's it on? I lean coaching, Jimmy. How about you? Just you tell me.
I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, all of the above.
I think Kenny has made a concerted effort to get Evan touches, particularly early in these games. He's always touching the ball early in these games, and he gets a rhythm. But then I think the Cavs, particularly in game one, Donovan felt like, I need to do more. Ty Jerome felt like, I need to do more without Darius Garland. I think there's some credence to that, but everything in moderation, right? Like, Donovan is always telling us, Evan Mobley is the most important player on this team. This is the guy that we're what when he was asked before this series, what gives you confidence that this team is going to be different than some of the other playoff teams you're going to be on? Evan Mobley. Well, okay, then maybe take 3 or 4 of your 30 game one shots and give those to him. Like that's part of it. You know, practice what you preach a little bit. And then with Evan, we all know he's not a naturally assertive personality. The Cavs had to kickstart his Defensive Player of the Year campaign for him. Whenever there'll be times when Evan's talking in the locker room, and Donovan Mitchell will walk past the media scrum and just sort of cup his ear, and almost as if like to say, "Hey man, speak up!" Like they're trying to inject confidence in him every way they can. And Evan Mobley, You're an all-star. You're going to make an all-NBA team. You need to take ownership over this offense too. Like, call for the ball. If you're taking it up, just do something with it. It's not as, you know, big men can be a little bit dependent on the guards to make stuff happen for them. Evan Mobley is not your typical big man. Evan Mobley can make stuff happen off the dribble. So he's the kind of player that doesn't necessarily need a play call for him to be able to score. He has ownership in that too. So like I said, I think it's a little bit of everything.
What did you make of Kenny Atkinson talking about the physical play? And I and Jeff and I were talking about how he was gingerly able to speak about the referees without being able to speak about the referees yesterday, saying, I either need a rule interpretation or just missed the call. I thought the way he worded it was perfect.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not I don't really know that this stuff works all the time. I'm not a huge fan of it. Mm-hmm. In the case of DeAndre Hunter, I see why you would do that. I mean, he really did get clocked.
Yeah.
On that play, it caused an injury that should have been something. I get that. That's worth complaining about. The confusing thing to me is to lump the Evan Mobley coming down on Miles Turner's foot play with that one, because you watched that one back. It was like about just over 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they're bumping and pushing down there, but that's kind of post defense. And then Evan shoots a turnaround, and Miles Turner is looking at the rim by the time Mobley comes down on his foot. Like, I mean, if you want to say, like, the NBA is pretty precious sometimes about giving shooters space to land.
Yeah.
But that to me is just an incident. It's completely, those two things are completely not like the other to me. And I thought it was strange to lump them together. I also just like, the Cavs physicality conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think this helps that narrative. It doesn't help that the picture that people have in their heads. Now, maybe the Cavs shouldn't care about that. It's more important to try to influence the refereeing and alert them to, hey, the Pacers were getting a little bit too overzealous in that game. But again, I don't know that that works. And it doesn't come off great to me.
Jimmy Watkins joining us, columnist for the Plain Dealer. I love Indiana's outside guys, Jimmy. The four guys who can almost be interchangeable out on the wing. But I agree with you. I think Jared Allen and Evan Mobley can be a real force that Indiana would have a real tough time contending with. And if Evan's good to go tonight, I'm anxious to see if Kenny Atkinson makes an adjustment in that area and how he might pull that off. What would you do if you were Atkinson strategically heading into this thing?
Well, I think there's opportunities when you run some of these pick and rolls with Jared Allen and Donovan or Darius or Ty, one of these guys who can shoot, you know, pull up threes from distance as the ball. You're asking a lot of whoever the big man is guarding that screen, because I mean Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith are really good at staying attached to those guys, like going over those screens. But if you can get some space on those, then you're asking the big man to do a lot there, right? He has to account for this guy, whether it's Don, Darius, or Ty, who can pull up from anywhere. And the team's defenses are usually a little bit more scared of three pointers than twos. But while you're doing that, Jared Allen or Evan Mobley is running behind you to the rim, and both of them are pretty good lob catchers. So you could try a little bit more of that. You could just more Evan Mobley in any regard I'm in favor of. Now, again, with the ankle, if he's playing tonight on that ankle, how much can he withstand? You would like to think if he's out there, you can do everything he normally does, get him some, let's call it Advil before the game. Maybe that helps him.
Call it Advil.
A little bit more. Let's call it Advil.
Numbing cream, something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Mother's milk, some of that.
Sure.
But I just think that I know we're talking about the big man. Another important part of Darius's return, I think, can just be the stabilizing presence that a point guard brings. Like, again, I get Donovan and Ty Jerome. I get they were trying to make up for Darius's absence, but they took over half the shots, 50 of 98 shots combined. It's hard for everyone else to catch rhythm when that's the case, and that's part of a point guard's job. Like Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers, he's not getting you 30 every night, but it's no coincidence that the Pacers are one of the deepest scoring teams in the league, and they have a really good point guard. They had six guys in double figures in game one, two more with 7 points. Halliburton had 13 assists. He has a really good finger on the pulse. Classic point guard stuff for when guys need touches and things of that nature. I think Darius has a little bit more of that too. So I think having him around, even if he's not his usual self, him as a playmaker, his ability to get those big men the ball will be helpful for that as well.
All right, Jimmy, I got about a minute left here. What do the Cavs need to do to win if they are injured, and does Kenny Atkinson have some magic in his hat?
You just need to close out on these three-pointers much harder. You need to guard the ball much better, and you need to score with Indiana. You need to sometimes you're in a player series like this, your best defense can be your offense, because Indiana thrives on running off these misses, and you can slow them down and make them play against a set defense if you score as well. That's probably not the point of emphasis that Kenny Atkinson is hitting after, I think they gave up over half their shots that they allowed were uncontested in game one, but you can help yourself out by scoring a lot.
Jimmy, thank you. We invite everyone to hop online to cleveland.com to make sure they read your latest story. Are the Cavaliers in deeper trouble than we think versus the Pacers? Video along with that too. So Jimmy, thank you. And of course, we'll read you every day in the Plain Dealer and cleveland.com. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Jimmy Watkins on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.